going on, everybody? Welcome back to Vantage Point Podcast, where we bring insight, keys, and perspective to everyday living through the lens of God. I'm your host, Nick, and I'm so glad you're tuning in for another episode. Man, if this is your first time, welcome. Wherever you're listening from, whatever you're listening on, we are definitely glad that you are here. If this is your 1,500, whatever time it is, welcome back. Again, we are super excited to be bringing another episode of Vantage Point. And if you've been with us the last few episodes, we just wrapped up a series called Trivial Pursuit, and I encourage you definitely go back and listen to that. But for the next 3 to 4 episodes, taking us right into Easter Sunday, we're going to be focusing on a different topic. So shifting gears a little bit, but really piggybacking off of our last episode of Trivial Pursuit and taking that right into this Easter season, right? And we're going to be talking about, number one, we're going to be talking about Jesus. Like, we talk about Jesus all the time. Might not sound exactly like this series will sound, but we definitely, being a Christian podcast, again, we're seeking insight, keys, and perspectives for our lives through the lens of God. And so this series really is something that really was put on my heart last year, and wanted to bring it to Vantage Point, bring it out, and right around Easter. And actually, the way I had structured it, this series was going to start with Easter and then go into April. But looking at the calendar and really just spending some time in prayer, decided to literally flip it on its head. And so we're going to be kicking off a series titled Reckless. Right. It's titled Reckless: What God Won't Do for You. And just to really kick it off, there's a song that's to call the Reckless Love of God. It comes from an artist named Corey Asbury, and then many other artists have done their adaptation or their cover of this worship song. And that's really where the idea was really placed in my heart, listening to that song, where I was personally, and it really just kept, the word reckless just kept popping, the song, the lyrics of the song, and we're going to go into some of that. Again, this is taking us right into Easter, but really looking at that topic, right? And as I was, studying and looking at research and everything, the question kept coming up, like, is God's love really reckless, right? And it's amazing to see, like, how this song has, like, spurred a lot of debate, not like intense debate, but good conversation around that topic, right? Is God's love reckless? And when you look at the definition of reckless, if you've been, again, I'm a definition guy. I love using definitions, having definitions as part of the episodes. And so looking at the definition of reckless, it says marked by a lack of proper caution, careless of consequences. And when you think of God's love and when you think of reckless, right, those two things don't really go together. And the way that this episode and this series is ultimately going to work is we're going to talk about our perspective of God's love, what we see when we see God's love. And quite honestly, we see it as reckless. Like, when you think about it, right? Like, think about certain situations, right? You have a parent that, actually, I just saw this on social media the other day, where a dad had he went into his house. It was on fire, to save his family. Right. He ran in there and pulled everyone out. He was in the hospital. He just recently actually regained consciousness. I think he was a former UFC fighter or something like that. Right. Or we see people running toward a burning car to pull somebody out. Or we see somebody, in an act of heroism, right, try to disarm someone. Or we see those types of things and we instantly think, man, that's reckless. Like, you're not operating in a mindset that is thinking about the concerns or the cautions. You're not thinking about the consequences. You know, you know, I'm in South Florida. You think of someone in the ocean and out swimming and they get in trouble and someone rushes in to get them, right? That's reckless, right? Like, but we see this every day. We see it in our lives, right? And as a parent, you might be a parent, you might be someone who has someone you deeply care about, you deeply love, and you would do something like that. And to the average person or the person who may not do that, right, that looks reckless. And when we think about God's love for us, right, like it's really like that in some cases, again, in our eyes, right? Because we, as humans, we don't fully comprehend or understand how God loves us, right? We have no idea how, with our mess, with our hangups, with our issues, with our everything that we are, our sin nature, we have no recollection, no full comprehension or understanding of how can God love us, right? Because even when you, lyrics to the song, it says, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. We're going to get into that in another episode. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And when we, you know, think about this concept, right, is God's love reckless? Like there's an understanding, right? The song is not saying that God's love is reckless. What it's ultimately referring to the scripture where it talks about Jesus leaving the 99, the shepherd leaving the 99 to go rescue the one. That is reckless in our eyes. Think about it, right? Let's think about it practically, right? We'll just take the biblical aspect and the biblical meaning away for like 2 minutes and just look at it practically as a shepherd who has 100 sheep, right? You have 99 that are safe and sound, right? And one, not 99, just one gets away. Probability tells us that I'm only losing 1%. Why would I leave the 99% to go get one? And in our eyes, that's reckless, right? It doesn't make sense. We don't understand, right? Think about if I had, you know, 99 puppies, right? Or 99 of anything, right? And one gets away. We would be okay in some cases, right? Sacrificing the one because we have 99. So let's take it a little bit broader scale, right? There are 7.5 billion people on this earth. And of course, not all of them are Christians, not all of them believe in Jesus, but we on Vantage Point, right? We are all God's people. Whether we believe in him or not, we are his creation. And so the fact that God, in his all, everything that he is, would leave the 7.499999, however many nines that is, billion people to go save you, to go get you, to go save you. That's reckless to us. Unless you're the one, then it starts to make a little more sense, right? And even then, sometimes we still don't understand. I really think that sometimes as Christians, we go through our whole Christian journey really wondering, how can God love us this much? How can God be that reckless over one person, right? Like that's how we think sometimes, right? And when we think about it, right, again, this word reckless, it's we're not heeding danger, not knowing the outcome, but we act anyway. God's literally saving the one for the 99, and he doesn't know the outcome. He doesn't know, but he's still willing to do that. That's how deep God's love is. That's how deep, like, his love goes. And for us, because we humans can't love that way. Like, we don't love that way. We cannot love at the level of God. We're not God, right? We, you know, sometimes our love has limits. Sometimes our love is just lacking for people, right? And we wouldn't do certain things. You know, you hear sayings like, man, I wouldn't throw water on my enemy if he was burning up in front of me, like, or, you know, something like that. The other phrase is a lot more colorful, but I'm not going to say that one. But those are the mindsets that we operate in sometimes. Enemies, friends, relatives, significant others, like, we get into that space, but not God. He is literally and figuratively, like, he is that in love with us that he's willing to risk it all for you, right? And we know that, right? Because in the next episode after this one, we're going to really get into what God's love really is. And while we see it as reckless, it is intentional. It is omniscient. It's what makes it so, there's so much in his love that makes it beautiful. Like, God's love is beyond our comprehension. It's purposeful. It's eternal. It's steadfast. It's intense, right? It's self-sacrificing. And we're going to talk about that too. Again, we're leading, this series is leading up to Easter. And we know that as we start to really get into the relationship aspect of God, right? Not just, okay, we're saved and we believe, but I mean, when we really start to get into the depths of God's love, we begin to even understand it a little bit, because again, we'll never fully understand it. But we will start to gain understanding the more we spend with him, the more time we spend with him, the more time in his word, the more we speak to him, we talk to him, we worship him, we begin to understand, we begin to comprehend how God loves us, right? And there's so much that when it comes for that. And we think, again, we think about it as being reckless. That's how we think, right? But 2 Timothy 1:9, and it's the Apostle Paul, and he says that God saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. See, before he created the world, God knew that he would send Christ. He knew that that would happen. He knew that he would be broken and all of those things would happen and he would have to die for our sins. God knew exactly what would happen. He knew that we, even us, he knew we would reject, we would worship other gods, we would alter, and for some people, he'd be their enemy. And in spite of all of that, he still planned to save us, to save me, to save you. And again, for us, in our minds, remember, this episode is focused on what we see when it comes to God's love, because we see that as reckless. We view that as reckless because, again, there are times we don't even see ourselves worthy of being saved. Whether it's a feeling or you have facts to back it up, right? You can remember all the things you did, all the things you didn't do, all the things you said, all the hurt you caused, all the pain, all the sin, and God still planned to save you. And I think that's when we get into this space of thinking of recklessness, right? Like, for again, for us, that's where our mind goes. This doesn't make sense to us, right? And we talked about the definition of reckless. We talked about, right, that irresponsibleness of it, right? And again, a lot of people, when they think about this psalm, they think, well, wait a minute, reckless is negative, and how could that be? And when we think about a reckless type of love, it's thought about as infatuation, or, you know, even let's take it to for my theater and literature people, right? Romeo and Juliet, reckless love, right? They're not thinking of their consequences or their actions, right? And we can put that attribute or some, that thought process, right, to how God maybe, right? Like, we don't, God is infatuated with us. And again, for our eyes and our minds, it's like, but why? Why would you do all that? Why would you send your only son? Why would you leave the 99 to come get me? Why would you care so much about me? And that leads people to think like, well, is the song not biblical? And it's like, well, no, we can assume how the purpose of the song is. Again, it's speaking from the human perspective of love being reckless, right? It's the extravagant nature of God's love to us, again, is reckless, right? We're an outsider when it comes to God's love. We don't understand God fully and in totality. So how could we fathom how he loves us? How could we fathom him sending his son to die for us? How could we fathom God leaving the 99 to come save us? How could we? And that's in the sense, right? We get into that mindset. And even in the song, it goes into it talks about there's no mountain that God won't climb. There's no valley. There's nothing he won't do or endure for us because he loves us that much. And that's where, again, we have to really hold into and hone into trying to just shift our perspective a little bit, right? Because again, the full understanding will never come. We will never have a full and totality when it comes to understanding God's love for us. We just won't, right? And we have to think about this, right? And let's, for the sake of our understanding, right, we're going to take the word reckless and we're going to shift it to passionate, right? And we know how God's love is. God has a passion for us. God, in a lot of cases, many cases, he has more passion for us than we have for him, right? And there's so much that we can say about God's love, that we can attest about God's love, and through our testimonies we can see and hear how much God loves us, whether it's through healing, whether it's through miracles, whether it's through restoration, whether it's through revelation, whether it's through what God allows and what God doesn't allow, and what God chooses for us to do and what he's ordained for us to do, and all of the things that ultimately make the thread of our lives. God is ordained and orchestrated because he loves us. I even think, even as I'm saying this now, like, I'm thinking of someone that might be listening, and you're thinking like, man, I done been through all of this stuff. God is, all these things have happened, and God knew they were going to happen. Nothing surprises God. And man, my life has been, my life has been reckless. So how can God love me if he's put me through all of these things? And again, it's such a wild concept for us to fully grasp that a God would do these things, and that that God as our Father would see us in the way that he sees us and love us the way that he loves us and save us the way that he saves us. But again, all of these things, all of these ideas, all of these thought processes, like for us to even begin to understand it, we have to start with relationship. Because you can't build understanding without having the trust. You can't build the trust without having the relationship. You can't have the relationship without the willingness and obedience to do it. And how can we get to a space with God? How can we get to a place with God? How can we get to a relationship with God if we're not willing to let go of our perspectives, to let go of our thoughts and let go of our ideas and stop looking at it as being reckless and look at it as God is passionate and trying to have a relationship with us? That's ultimately where we need to begin. And so when we think about the recklessness of God, it's not him just being irresponsible. It's not God just out here. No, God has a very intentional reason why he's doing that. And even in the story with the lost sheep, right? It's allowing us to see ourselves beyond what we are, right? Because it's easy to focus on where we are. It's easy to focus on what we've done. But God often sees what we can be. God is very aware of where we are. God is very aware of what we've done. God is all of those things. And sometimes when I think about the relationship that God has with his people, I always go back to two people, David and Paul. And David, is the only person that God said what I'm about to say about. And some of you may have heard this before, whether in church or you read the Bible or what. You may have heard this, and for some, you may have never heard this. But God said that David was a man after his own heart. And I want you to think about that. And if you don't have a lot of context on who David is, I encourage you to really dig into the book of Psalms and really dig into who David was, because a lot of David was one of those people, when you read his story, you're like, wow, like a very relatable person. Honestly, I believe the two people I'm about to talk about for a little bit are very relatable to this. But David is someone who committed adultery. He had a man killed. He did so many different things. And you can even read in Psalms and watch and literally see his faith go up and down, his worry, his stress, his fear, his strength, all of it. It's like a roller coaster. And despite all of that, despite all of these things, this is also the same David who slayed Goliath, all of these things, good, bad, and ugly. And God still said, he's a man after my own heart. The second person would be Paul. And if you don't know much about Paul, Paul is another person whose past is very interesting, very questionable. The short answer and version of Paul, he used to be Saul, and he killed Christians. That was what he did, right? And he was a believer, just not in the teachings of Jesus Christ, right? Paul would be considered what was a Pharisee, a Sadducee in those days, like a religious figure, overly religious, very much law, very much that. But when it came to Jesus and his teachings, Paul wasn't having it, and he was instructed to take care of anyone who believed. And it took an encounter on a road that stopped Paul dead in his tracks and ultimately changed the trajectory of his life and led him down a journey and a path that he is the primary author of the entire New Testament that we read. And when we think about those two, don't think of the 99, because I think sometimes we can get caught up in what we read, but we forget about where they came from. Because you have to put both together to really understand God's love, to really understand why God would leave the 99, because Paul was one. He was the one. David was the one. I was one. You were the 1%. And I think sometimes we go through life and we think that, okay, we get saved and now we're no longer the one, you know, we're the 99. Now we're in the club and we're cool and we're this and we're that. Life is a journey, and the relationship with God does not stop at salvation. It actually just begins. And so even as we close out this episode and we think about and just take time to reflect on God's love and what he won't do, I encourage you to really think about not just this episode, but think about how we interact with people, how we interpret God's love. And yes, to our eyes, the things that we have read in the Bible or the things that we may have experienced when it comes to God's love may seem reckless. But in hindsight, it's God desiring to have relationship with us. It's God desiring to shift us to a trajectory that allows us to glorify him and to advance his kingdom and to do those things. But it has to start with a relationship. It has to start with understanding. And the first understanding that we have to start gaining is God's love for us is not reckless. It's passion. It's his desire to be with his children. It's his desire to be with his creation. It's his desire for us. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you for another opportunity to bring your word forward. We don't take it lightly, Father, and I just am thankful that you do love us, Father God. I'm thankful that you do care, Father God. I'm thankful that you would leave the 99, Father God, to come get me, to come get you, to come get you know, whoever's listening, Father God. And I thank you that what you see in us isn't focused on who we were or what we've done, Father God. You still see us as your son, your daughter, Father God. You see us as your child. And even as we go through our year and go through our days, Father, just continue to allow us to shift perspective on how you love us, Father God. And not that it's reckless or that you're out of your mind or you don't know what you're doing, Father God, but that you truly see us as your children, and all you desire for us, Father God, is relationship with you, communion with you, Father God, so that we fulfill the God-given purpose that you've given us, Father. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank y'all so much again for tuning in to another episode of Vantage Point. I encourage you, lock in these episodes for this series. They're going to come pretty quick. Easter's right around the corner. Man, I encourage you, if you don't have a church home for Easter, it's on Sunday, March 31st. I encourage you. There are so many other churches. If you're in the South Florida area, there's a lot of churches out here. Christ Fellowship, One Community, so many other churches. If you're in the Tulsa area, Ignite Church Tulsa, Church on the Move, so many other churches around the area. I encourage you, don't watch online that day. Get into the house, get into the presence of God. Don't go watch a show. It's not about a show. It's not about a performance. It's about establishing what happened on that Resurrection Sunday, right? And focus on that, because we're going to get into that in this series at the end. But I want you to keep doing those things. I want you to search for a church home. If you don't have one or don't know the ones I've mentioned, leave us a message. Send me an email just right there on the website. It should say our link, our website. You need to go right there, fill out the form. It comes right to me. We'll be able to help you out. And remember, keep seeking insight, keys, and perspective to everyday living through the lens of God. It'll change your world and your life. God bless.